So it's a privilege to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. As Andrew said, it's Pentecost Sunday, so it may not be a surprise to you that we are turning to the beginning of the book of Acts this morning and to read from there. But can I just pray for us before we do that? Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to be in your presence. We're so thankful to be your people. And as we have already declared in song and word this morning, we love you. And we receive your love for us. And so, Lord, as we open the scriptures together now, Holy Spirit, would you breathe your life on what we read and what I say? Because, Lord, it's you we want to listen to. It's your words we want. It's your truth we want. And, Lord, we know that you have the power to transform us. And so we welcome you as we come to this part of worship in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start reading from the first chapter of Acts this morning. I'm not liking this microphone very much. Sorry. see if I can get that right. All right. Starting at verse 3. He, which is Jesus, presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria until the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And come he did. Let's turn over to chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit came in power, just as Jesus had promised he would, to indwell believers, and the Church of Jesus Christ was birthed to fulfill God's mission. What a spectacle. The noise, the drama, the manifestation of it all. At the very sound, and it doesn't say in the passage that we've just read that they saw the fire, but at the sound, a massive crowd was drawn away from their customs of celebrating Pentecost to see what was going on. Can you imagine just for a moment how loud it must have been? Because Jerusalem was bustling, filled with people who were there to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. And yet over the din and the noise of everyone gathered celebrating this festival, they were drawn together to see what on earth was going on. And this huge crowd is described as bewildered, amazed, astonished, perplexed. And there were indeed some mocking in the group who assumed that the commotion was because they were drunk. Luke goes on to recount Peter's first bold sermon. This is the same brash, bumbling Peter that we've read all about in the Gospels. But here he is. 3,000 people said yes to Jesus and were baptized that day. And as we read on in the book, the Acts of the Apostles, there are these countless descriptions of signs and wonders and miracles and encounters. And for full disclosure, floggings and stonings and death and persecution and famine and imprisonment and shipwrecks, to name a few. And the gospel did spread from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the known earth. Wow. Now that is evidence of power to be his witnesses, isn't it? And so I find myself thinking, bring it on, God, bring it on. I want that power to be his witnesses. But you see, I struggle a bit because if I'm honest, there is very little resemblance in my ordinary life to what we've just read. Not just now, but ever. I've not ever preached to multitudes and seen 3,000 come to Christ. I've never walked past somebody and just because of the presence of God in my life, my shadow touches them and they're instantly healed. I've never seen physical blind eyes opened. I've not seen the dead raised. And I've not been miraculously broken out of prison. You might be glad to know. And perhaps I'm not alone this morning in my struggle, wondering, where is the evidence of the Spirit's power and presence in my life to bear witness to Jesus? And so I want to reflect on this question this morning. And to do so well, I actually want to right up front start with a caution. The caution is this, that it is too easy, particularly in the stream of the body of Christ that we are a part of, to assume that the power and the work of the Holy Spirit always means intensity, something instant and loud and big and outward. And it's especially the case, isn't it, when we read accounts like we do in Acts. And as a result, there are a number of errors that I believe that we can fall into if this is the only way that we view his power. If there's lack of intensity, we may wrongly assume the power of the Holy Spirit is not even present and at work in us and through us. That this is for the spiritual elites. This is not for ordinary folk like us. And therefore, we wrongly believe that maybe we're not really effective witnesses for Jesus. And we disqualify ourselves. Or it may result in us chasing after that intense experience, trying to manufacture something, treating the Holy Spirit like he's some kind of force or power booster, trying to grab control and turn up the dial on the intensity. Or even we may end up judging people because they haven't had the same intense experiences that we have. And when we use intensity as our only evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence and empowering work, this can also lead to us lacking in discernment. You know, we witness something and immediately assume that because it was intense, it must be God, when in fact it may not be. Now, I do not for one moment want you to hear me saying that I think we should shut down the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That he never moves in power and intensity. I can tell you even from my own life, that is not true. I don't want us to become judgmental and critical when things happen that we don't understand. The Bible is full of the way God shows up in ways that we do not understand. And as a church here at Vision, we strongly believe and desire to know and experience God. We believe that he is here right in our midst, and we don't just get to know about him, but we get to experience him. And that sometimes that may look very disruptive and messy and mess with our sense of control, or certainly my sense of control. So what I'm talking about here is when intensity of experience, an outward demonstration, is our only framework and to perceive the evidence that the Holy Spirit is present and active. Are you with me this morning? Do you? So it's not that I'm saying that we should shut him down, but what happens when we think this is the only way he shows up? When we only pay attention to the person and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our midst, if he's loud and intense like a mighty rushing wind, performing signs and wonders in our midst, then we end up missing many, many moments when he is also at work through our daily life. And in fact, we miss the biggest miracle of all, that people like you and me have become the home of God. Christine Westhoff, who is an author and a leader within the 24/7 Prayer Network, sums up this caution in this way. He, the Holy Spirit, is not an atmosphere, a power surge, or an object we can learn to manipulate. He is not an electric current that turns on when we want him to or performs at our beck and call. He is not a force that sits ready to serve our urges, nor something that happens when the room is charged with worship. Sometimes he arrives on the scene in power, and other times he is more like a soft, nearly imperceptible breeze. He is often most present when we don't know that he's there. And then when we think he should manifest himself, he apparently disagrees. He does not care about our public dignity, our planned schedules. He certainly does not bow to our wishes. He truly blows where he wants, and we can't tell where he came from or where he is going. Church family, we do well to remember this morning that Holy Spirit is not to be controlled, summoned, or commanded. He is only to be followed and obeyed in reverence and awe. He is God, and his power and gifts do not belong to us. We belong to him. So if intensity alone is not a reliable evidence of the Spirit's power and presence in our lives, how can we reframe things in order to live alert and paying attention to his presence and empowering so that we can bear witness to Jesus? Because that's what Jesus said, isn't he? He said, when the power comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. That is the whole purpose, to make much of Jesus. And so I first want to look at, what did Jesus teach about the Holy Spirit? We, of course, throughout Scripture, from beginning to end, see his presence and work in significant moments, creating, birthing life, resurrecting, coming upon people to enable them to do his will as priests, prophets, and kings. But what did Jesus directly teach about him? We're not going to turn there today, but you will find significant teaching from Jesus on the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 to 16. And I'm just going to summarize it for us today. But Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure prior to his death and his resurrection. And this is how he described the Holy Spirit, how he introduced him to them as a miraculous, treasured, promised gift. As a gift that was so precious that it was better that Jesus would go away so that he could come. This was no consolation prize. This was going to be God's abiding, indwelling presence with them and us always. And these are some of the descriptors that Jesus used for Holy Spirit: helper, comforter, encourager, the one who comes alongside, teacher and reminder, the one who brings conviction of sins, guides us into truth, bears witness to and glorifies Jesus, and reveals to us that we are sons and daughters of the King. He empowers, sanctifies, and transforms us into the likeness of Jesus. I want you to think for a moment of the nearness that is required for his gentle leading to take place in our life. About how well he knows us, how well he knows you, He knows everything about you. Every mess, every piece of brokenness, all of your humanity. And in his gentleness, he draws near. Consider his affection for you this morning. His deep desire and longing to be included in your life. For you to be receptive to him. And yet even as we see him and know him and experience him, he is an utter mystery. He is wholly and completely other. He is divine in every way, the majestic one, the transcendent eternal spirit, and he is holy. And this truth makes his intimate involvement in our lives simply stunning. And to think we often miss him because we're looking for other things. When you consider Jesus' teaching here to his disciples, he didn't actually mention anything about signs, wonders, and miracles. The disciples had, of course, both witnessed and participated in this aspect of Jesus' ministry. But at this key time of instruction, Jesus speaks more about the inner working and empowering of the indwelling presence of the Spirit in the life of the believer. And what I find remarkable is that he lays out character, and in particular, love and loving one another as the primary evidence that we belong to him, not power encounters. So this morning, church, is it possible that when we walk in humility and kindness and gentleness, in forgiveness and love, in repentance and patience and self-control, a way of living in holiness that is only possible by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are demonstrating being filled with power to be his witnesses? Is it possible that as the character and the nature of Christ is formed in us, that actually this is the very demonstration of being filled with the power to be his witnesses? I would suggest to you that this upside down nature of holy power is exactly what Jesus is representing as the power. It's not showy, it's not self-serving, it's not divisive, it's not judgmental, it's not critical, and it's not even always big and loud. It is an upside down holy power. It's not like the power that the world tells us. It's different. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was confronting the Corinthians about. They were being loud and proud, and they were misusing the power of the Spirit, and they looked nothing like Jesus. Paul wrote to them, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit will never showcase us or put us on display. His whole mission is to make much of Jesus. And we are his witnesses when by the power of the Holy Spirit we are formed into the likeness and character of Jesus. So the question for each of us to consider today is, are we willing to open ourselves to this aspect of his power at work in us to be his witnesses? Are we willing to be surrendered and humble so that he will form in us what he wants to form in us? As we seek to reframe the ways that we pay attention to the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our ordinary life, I think it's also worth having a brief look at the position and the posture of the disciples on that day of Pentecost. Here are the headlines. In humble obedience to the command of Jesus, they did not depart from Jerusalem despite significant personal risk and stayed to wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. There were still many unknowns for them. They did not wait alone as individuals, but in community, in one accord, praying together. And their encounter with Holy Spirit came in the place that they were staying while they were sitting. So here are the key words: humility, obedience, waiting upon the Lord, gathering in unity, being in community, prayer, stillness, and space. And it was not in the absence of mystery, the unknown, or lack of control. Yes, the Holy Spirit, when he came with intensity and caused powerful, loud mayhem. But unless your ordinary everyday is very different to mine, that is not our normal experience. And so I would suggest that we can still cultivate this list in our lives so that we can make room for and recognize the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our life. That list again: humility, obedience, waiting on the Lord, gathering in unity, being in community, prayer, stillness, and space. And not with the absence of unknown and mystery that we cannot explain. When we cultivate this posture in our life, it primes us to notice Holy Spirit, even when he's not being intense. And finally, and I might ask Michelle if you wouldn't mind coming back up again. Thank you. When we read about the power encounters and other wonderful events in the book of Acts, I've actually found it really helpful to look at the Bible Project's description of the book. And I don't know if you know much about the Bible Project. We're doing a read through the Bible this year, and it really is an excellent resource to give you an overview about the book you're about to start. So if you haven't found them, I would definitely look them up. They've got these great graphic YouTube clips that help put together how the book, the themes of the book. And so they put one together for the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And so this is my summary of their summary, because their summaries still take about 8 minutes. But this is my summary of their summary. The Acts of the Apostles is about how God's kingdom came on earth as in heaven through Jesus, his Spirit, and his church, and gives examples of people's faithfulness to King Jesus by sharing the good news in word and action, forming diverse communities where people were equals, and trusting in the power and the guidance of the Spirit. You see, when it's framed this way, it's easier to see how the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives for these same purposes, even on the days when we're not seeing the dead raised. In our ordinary lives, I'll read them again. These are examples of people's faithfulness to King Jesus, sharing the good news in word and action, forming diverse communities where people are in unity and equals, and trusting in the power and the guidance of the Spirit. That is applicable to every single one of us. My aim this morning has been to broaden our definition of what power is, so that we will notice the evidence of the Spirit's movement, power, and presence in our daily lives. And then that we will act upon it in order to bear witness to Christ. And so I want to finish this morning by just sharing a couple of examples from my life in the past month. Because this is something God's at work in me about. How do I pay attention to Him? How do I look for the evidence that His power is at work in me, that I am being a witness for Him? The first story to share just happened this last week. I've been praying for a very long time for my precious mum-in-law to come back to Jesus and the faith of her childhood. And she's been really unwell over the last few years, but particularly the last year. And Justin and I have had the privilege of praying for her because she's open to prayer. And I would really have loved for God to just show up and instantly heal her. I thought that would be really good witness of Him. But He, as yet, has not done that. And so this past week, I was asking God, please would You show me opportunities to share with her? Because it's really hard to share with family. You might agree too, like how many times can you repackage the gospel? And I'm like, God, I just want to pay attention to what You are saying. And I was with her on Friday and she said, I've got a long list to talk to you about, Catherine. Most of them practical things. And then she said, there's this church that meets on a Saturday evening that's a kind of a contemplative Christian community. Would you take me? And I thought, oh gosh, where am I going to fit that in? And then, you know, the Holy Spirit's cough. Okay, you've been asking for a prompt. This is it. And so next Saturday evening, I will take my mum-in-law at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Her salvation is His job. But this is the evidence of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in my life at work to bear witness to Christ in an ordinary moment that I could have missed if I was looking for something really intense. Or I attended a conference last month and I was milling around, we're having coffee, I didn't know anybody there, and I kind of just awkwardly walked up to this woman and started a conversation. But men, you may not understand this, women, you'll definitely understand this. Small talk turned into sharing about family, and fairly quickly we were sharing pretty vulnerably with one another. But what it turned out is that she was really struggling with some pretty big feelings around parenting her five-year-old who had recently received a diagnosis of autism. And I have a daughter with autism. She's now in her 20s. And I was able to listen and weep with her, to share part of our family journey with her and encourage her, give her a few practical strategies about the morning madness and sensory management. And together we pointed to Jesus. This is a woman who loved the Lord. And on the surface, this would have looked like a really ordinary conversation, two women sharing about family life. I hadn't had some directional word from the Lord in the morning that you're going to meet this woman over coffee and you're going to share what I've done in your life in this area. But somehow He just allowed a lingering conversation with a woman. And these are her words to me at the end of our conversation. This conversation alone has made attending this conference worthwhile even before it starts. You know, that's the lengths that the Holy Spirit will go to. But it was an ordinary conversation. Some people might say it was coincidence, but I don't think so, and nor did she. And then my final example was just yesterday at the National Day of Prayer, which was a wonderful, precious time to gather together with God's people. It was a small gathering at St. Andrew's, and I had the privilege of leading a prayer session on praying for leaders. And I'd been driving to the church in the car listening to one of my current favourite songs, and this phrase in the song just stood out to me. And I repeated it a couple of times when I was driving, and then I repeated the phrase out loud to myself. All things once sown in weakness, You raise in promise. All things once sown in weakness, You raise in promise. I got out of the car, I didn't think very much more about it. And then as we were worshipping, the thought just popped into my head. There are leaders here who are discouraged. Share the song line. So I did. It was ordinary. There was no intensity. there wasn't really even any evidence of how it landed. But I responded to that still, quiet voice of the Spirit, and I acted upon it. And I believe that this is evidence of the Spirit's power and presence in my daily life. And so my question to you this morning is, how is the person, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through you? Can I encourage you to pay attention this week? Because I can absolutely guarantee you He is there. And so, my encouragement to us this morning is that we would grow into and become people who welcome and yield to the Holy Spirit in whatever way He wills. Whether He arrives on the scene with intensity and power, or more soft, like an imperceptible breeze, so that we might be Christ's witnesses. Can I ask you to stand this morning? I couldn't find a better way to pray over us than Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. And so I want you to position yourself this morning to really hear this prayer and to receive it. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen.